Father, we thank you. As always, we know the entrance of your word brings light. We ask that that light will shine into every heart this morning. Glory to God. We give you the praise and give you the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Let the spirit of encouragement be here in this morning to encourage every listener, both speakers and listeners. We'll all be encouraged in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm going to be sharing on Faith Reloaded in the face of adversity. Reloading your faith. That's right. Message this morning will be on Faith Reloaded in the face of adversity. Well, what is adversity, first of all? Well, it's could be a number of things: calamities, tragedy, distress, sorrow, sickness, disappointment, failures, etc. I mean, just all kinds of things, you know, can be classified as adversity, all kinds of negative stuff, you know. And as long as we live and we are in this world, we're going to have these adversities. We're going to face these adversities. There's just no getting around it. There is no way we can go through, you know, the life that we would live here on earth without adversity. It's just not possible. You know, so as long as we are going to face the adversity, therefore, we need to arm ourselves with the best way to handle when faced with adversity. One of my favorite scriptures on that verse is Ecclesiastes 7 and 14, which you've heard me say several times. There's adversity. There's also the day of goodness and prosperity. The Lord put them side by side. He said, in the day of prosperity, rejoice. But in the day of adversity, consider. What should you consider? Well, consider the fact that, you know, you're going to have those adversities, because God left them side by side so that our hearts will not seek after anything else but Him. Hallelujah. So, when situation occurs, you know, sometimes it's just unimaginable. And sometimes people wonder, why do we have adversity? Why does bad things happen to good people? Well, it is what it is. We can't always tell the reason, but the outcome, when the victory is received, will give glory to God. One time in the book of John chapter 9, the first two verses, they asked Jesus concerning the man that was born blind from his mother's womb. And the disciples and the people around him asked the Lord and said, why was the case with this man like this? I mean, you know, for a person to be born blind, I mean, what is it? What happened? Was it because people are thinking in their head, well, it could have been his parents that sinned, and then the generational punishment comes upon the offspring. And so they said, well, you know, was it this man that sinned or his parents? I mean, why was he born blind? And the answer that Jesus gave said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. You know, and that's a very tough, tough saying. A hard saying sometimes. Perhaps one of the hardest that I find in these scriptures. You know, that the sufferings that someone may go through for many years may even be so that the works of God, when the solution comes, might be revealed in them. You know, so when we see people facing adversity, let's not be quick to jump to a conclusion that it's probably because they did something wrong. It might, maybe, and maybe not. And Jesus debunked that right here. Just because he saw that this man was born blind doesn't necessarily mean it was a sin, either from him or his parents. We see also the story of Job, the book of Job, chapter 1, you know, verses 8 through 12. And you all know this story. I hope everybody does. A lot of things that are happening in the background that Job didn't even know about. But somehow, you know, the things that befell Job was actually result as a, because of a contest between the Lord and the devil. And, you know, the posture of Job would be the trophy. The Lord said to the devil, Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear the Lord for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? And hast thou not blessed the work of his hands, and his substance has increased in the land? I mean, you've given him all good things. Sure, he's going to bless you, and he's going to be upright. But put forth your hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse you to thy face. You know, that was the challenge. You know, so, and then, of course, you know the rest of the story. And the Lord said, well, okay, fine. But, you know, all that he hath is in thine. But upon himself, put forth not thy hand. And all the things that ensued, the first round, well, the devil failed. He came back and said, well, that's because you didn't let me touch him. I touched all the things around him, but you didn't let me touch. I mean, and so on and so forth. And the whole time, all that evil that was befalling Job, people on the outside, even some of his friends, well, thought maybe it was because he had erred, you know, or erred from the Lord and went, you know, a different way. And maybe he had done something wrong, but it wasn't because he did anything wrong. You know, so we don't necessarily know why things may happen, but stuff will happen. You know, Jesus said it himself. He said, look, as long as you are in this world, you're going to have tribulations. But the summary of it all is that you should be of good cheer, because he said, I have overcome the world for you. Hallelujah. He says in John chapter, 16 and verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Now, you know, that's the kind of peace that only he can give. John 14 and 27 says, the kind of peace I give to you is not the kind of peace you can get in the world. But he said, in the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world for you, and you can also overcome. And so we're going to have these challenges, you know, and the Lord wants to encourage us this morning, you know, that Satan would like to take advantage of situations. Some situations can happen to us through carelessness, though. It's not all the time that people are innocent. You know, sometimes people are not innocent. I mean, let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 8. It says, well, if you break a hedge, a serpent will come in and bite. So if you don't, you know, set up your guardrails, you know, bad things may happen. If you break it, you know, if you dig a pit, you might fall into it. If you break a hedge, a serpent might come in and bite. So we see that in these cases, these people, you know, it was the work of their hands that got them into trouble. So that can happen too. There's also Proverbs 22 and verse 3 that says, look, the prudent man, you know, if you are prudent. You know, that means you can foresee many evils when you're prudent. The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So the people that are simple, that are not discerning, don't have their antennas up, they may not foresee the evil, and they may get into trouble. So adversity may come also because of that kind of foolishness. The person is not well discerning. It's not looking well before they leap. He's not looking clearly, and he's not seeing what's ahead. And they may fall into a ditch that way. You know, so that can happen too. Likewise, Proverbs 27 and verse 12. You know, so I'm just bringing the reasons why adversity may come before I actually deal with, you know, the subject of how to reload our faith in the face of adversity. A prudent man, Proverbs 27 verse 12, the same thing. Proverbs, just like Proverbs 22 and 3, Proverbs 27 and 12 say the same thing. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. You know, now, one of the strongest statements in this Bible that you can even pull out concerning this subject or any other subject, sometimes evil that comes and happens to us and so forth like that, you know, one of the strongest statements that you can find is in the book of Hosea. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Now, that's a very strong statement. You know, so destruction, adversity, and evil can come sometimes because of lack of knowledge. If you don't have the right knowledge to apply in certain situations, well, you may be the victim of the devil. Now, remember, John chapter 10 and verse 10, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So destruction, though, that Jesus is talking about, this Hosea is also telling us sometimes that destruction can be because of lack of knowledge. Now, that means if you have the proper application of knowledge, you may avoid some of these things. But let's consider lack of knowledge for a minute. You know, he said, "Because thou hast rejected knowledge." Now, this is not even because they did not have the opportunity to learn or gain the knowledge. This is because the opportunity was presented, but they turned their backs against it. Say, "You have rejected knowledge." Now, there's some people that just don't know, you know, and sometimes you don't know what you don't know. But in this case, he says, you had the opportunity to acquire the knowledge, but you rejected it. Now, that's a serious condition, a serious situation. And he said, "Well, because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject thee. And thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy Lord." So we see that knowledge is in the word of the Lord. It's called the law of the Lord. And we read about it in Psalm 119 a couple weeks ago or so when we did that. Went through the whole chapter of Psalm 119. The law of the Lord, his statutes and his commandments. And those are the things that bring true knowledge. You know, the knowledge of the holy is found in the word of God. The knowledge how to avoid evil is also found there. Wisdom and all the good things that God wraps around that is found in the word of God. But he said, "Because you have rejected it, I also will reject you." Now, so we see, and he said, "Because you have forgotten the law of the Lord, I also will forget thy children." Now, you know, for that alone, we better make sure that we know the word of God and we're passing it on to our children. So you don't want, you know, your children to suffer because of your own errors that you chose to not follow the word of God and not to teach it to them. you know, so lack of knowledge can also bring, you know, problems and distress and difficulties to people. Now, many of these things can actually be prevented, you know, if you are following the precepts of the Lord. And oh, here's also in Psalm 91, you know, it said, he that dwelleth in the secret place, you know, of the Almighty shall abide under the shadow. I mean, secret place of the Lord abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I mean, so there is a way that we can actually prevent many things, because God can reveal impending danger. He can do that too. You know, and so I'm going to cover that first before I actually go into, well, scenarios in which, well, stuff has already happened. You were not able to prevent it, but it happened anyway. But before it happened, there are some times that we can prevent that. Psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. We read that in Psalm 119, you know, so, but listen to this also in the book of Job, chapter 33. And let's read verses 14 to about 18. Job 33, verse 14. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon man, in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, and so forth, that he may withdraw man from his evil purpose. That's right. Hide the pride from man. So God can actually reveal things to us or put instruction in our hearts that will help us, you know, even while we're sleeping. Sealeth the instruction in our hearts. Now, of course, that's for someone that's drawing near to the Lord, that's putting themselves in, you know, the secret place of the Almighty, so they can dwell under his shadow. God can actually reveal things like this, you know, to us. We see that in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13. And I think we read this the other day. You know, Jesus himself as a baby, you know, he was protected by the Lord by God giving a dream to Joseph. Now, that's instruction in the night. Now, instruction in the night can come and help you to even avoid adversity. Lord put instruction in the heart of Joseph in a dream, a night vision, and said, look, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and stay there until I bring you word again. Because there are those that will seek the life of the young child to destroy it. And so God saved the life of the child, Jesus, through a dream that he gave to Joseph. And so that's just an example. There's many more examples. But I'm showing how that things can even be avoided. Some adversities can be avoided if we are keying into the leadership, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you know. Now, but it is important for us to know that God is able to do that. He can protect us. He can deliver us from evil. Let's read the words of Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. Famous psalm that many of us like, you know. You know, it says, look, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. Redeem my life from destruction. So you see, God can actually do that. Now, destruction, remember, my people are destroyed. The word destroyed is related to adversity. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Well, the Lord can redeem your life from destruction. He can crown you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He can satisfy your mouth with good things. Renew your youth like the eagles. The Lord can do that too. You know. Now, one other way, and I'm going to begin to get more into, you know, the real lesson today, is, you know, what do we do though in the face of adversity? We've talked about what adversity may be and how it may come. And we've talked about, you know, sometimes it may come due to no fault of the person. And sometimes it comes due to the devil taking advantage of a situation. It can also come due to lack of knowledge, you know, keeping your eyes open to see the pitfall so you don't fall into it. If you don't do that, you may fall into it. And then you begin to cry unto the Lord, you know, so, but you could have avoided it in the first place if you had used wisdom and knowledge, you know, so, but be that as it may, when it does happen, when you are faced though with adversity, you can stay there and say, well, how I wish, you know, I could have done this, I could have done that, hindsight and all of these things to have prevented this. Well, at that point, it's too late. It's already happened. So then what do we do? There's not everything we can prevent. Jesus said, in the world you shall have these adversities and these tribulations. You can't prevent them all. Some you might be able to, some you can't. But what do you do then, you know, when you are faced with adversity? Well, first, you must be convinced that God is able to deliver you out of that situation. So we're going now into the real part of today's lesson. The first thing is you must be convinced, just like the psalmist said, that he redeemed my life from destruction. You must be convinced that God is able to deliver you from whatever situation that you find yourself in. Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, see, shows us the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego facing adversity. They are about to be cast into the fire. You know, I mean, in this case, they actually didn't do anything wrong. Their sin was because they chose to not bow to the image of Nebuchadnezzar or listen to his music or worship any of the gods that he has set up. And the penalty, under the penalty of death, they were given one more chance, you know, to do it. And so they will be let go. But they said, no, we will not do it. Hallelujah. But look at the way they said it. They said, look, you know, let's read it from verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We don't need to go pray about it. We don't need to go think about it. You know, we already know our answer. You know, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. So that's the first thing. You must be persuaded that God is actually able to deliver you from the present adversity which you find yourself in, you know, when it has already happened and you are facing it in the face of adversity, which you could not have prevented. Some you could, and this one you can't. You are right there. What must you do? Number one, you know, be fully persuaded that God is actually able to deliver you. That part is non-negotiable. That's non-negotiable. You must be persuaded that God is able to deliver you from the adversity. That's number one. And then number two, let's see what they said. What said, well, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from your burning fiery furnace. You know, we know that. We're persuaded about that. And he will deliver us. And so they had settled in their heart that not only is God able to deliver them, but he will actually deliver them. So that part is non-negotiable. When we face adversity, that must be your posture. When you find that here you are face to face with adversity of any kind, you must be persuaded in your heart that God is able to deliver you, and that he will. Then number two, you know, these people went ahead and said, well, but for whatever reason, best known to God, should he choose to not deliver me at this time? I know he's able and I know he will, but you know what? Well, let's just you know, give the Lord, you know, the benefit that he, you know, he's supreme, you know, and he can overrule. And should he, for whatever reason best known to him at this time, choose to not offer the deliverance, I'm still going to maintain my posture of faith. I'm not going to give an inch. I'm not going to start to gripe, grumble. You know, even Job's wife said, curse the Lord already. I mean, people do all kinds of things. They blame God. They do all kinds of things. You know, when adversity strikes, I mean, especially when adversity strikes in the family. Consider someone that loses someone in their family that they are very close to. Maybe a mother. Maybe someone loses their mother and they were very close. Or a mother loses a child through death and they were very close and all of that. And, you know, sometimes the resentment, all kinds of things set in. And people begin to blame the Lord. And they will even say, why did you take him from me or take her from me and so forth? It's not the Lord. It's the death. Death is what took them. You know, so death took them. We can't blame the Lord for everything. You know, if the world were perfect without sin, there would be no evil. But so we really can't blame the Lord for everything. You know, God may allow it, but we can't blame him for it. It's the devil that comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus, on the other hand, said, I come to give life and that abundantly. So, but they said, look, we know our God is able and he will. But if for whatever reason, best known to him, he chooses not to at this time, we still will not bow. So that's number two. No matter the outcome of the thing, you go in when you are facing the thing, knowing that God is able to deliver you and he will. And then number two, in your heart, you're also persuaded that regardless of the outcome, hallelujah, regardless of the outcome, I'm going to maintain my posture of faith with the Lord. I'm not going to gripe. I'm not going to murmur. I'm not going to grumble, regardless of the outcome. So those are two important lessons and to learn from these folks, how they went in facing this adversity, you know. Paul also instructed Timothy, he said, look, you must, you know, prepare your heart to be able to handle adversity, even before it comes. You know, he would write to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, you know, and verse 3, and he would tell him, look, a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you know, must endure hardness, adversity, and different things. You know, you got to train yourself for that. You know, and you know that, you know, in the military and different boot camps and so forth, they put them through training for the tough adversities and times that are coming. You cannot, as a good soldier, you can't just go into your life thinking that everything is going to be rosy. No. Sometimes it will be rosy, and sometimes it's going to be thorns, you know, in your flesh. Sometimes it's going to be adversity. You must go in. You must learn how to endure hardness. You know, be tough, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. You know, these are some things that we must do to prepare ourselves. Be strong in the Lord. Build up your spiritual capacity even ahead of time. You know, be strong in the Lord. Don't give in the face of adversity. Oops, sorry, something jumped up here on my screen. Don't give in the face of adversity and let the devil take advantage of you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Be strong in the Lord. The scripture even says, you know, to us, don't let the devil take advantage of you. Quit ye like men. He said, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. 1 Corinthians 16 and 13. You know, what does that mean? It means, well, don't be feeble in your mind. Doesn't mean quit there, doesn't mean give up. But it says, get away from feebleness of mind. Be strong in the Lord. Stand fast. Watch in all things. Don't let the devil take advantage of the situation. Situation may already happen, and then the devil will try to take advantage of it and weaken your mind and weaken your defense forces. So you must strengthen your defense forces. Don't be strong in the Lord and so forth. You must quit ye like men and all of that. And don't give in the day of adversity. Prepare your mind. Proverbs 24 and verse 10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, then your strength is little. So to make sure that you're not going to faint, prepare, you know, build your spiritual muscle, you know, I mean, ahead of time. Prepare for these things. Spend time in prayer. Be watchful. He says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men and be strong. You know, so how do you do it? Spend time in prayer ahead of time. If you wait until the adversity strikes to pray, you will panic. But if you are already prayed up, then you can sleep through the storm because you already prayed up. Hallelujah. You can face, you know, if whatever comes, and especially when you pray something, you know that God has answered that prayer and it turns around and looks like it's the opposite. Then what should you do? You know, I was faced with a situation recently when my wife and I went to Nigeria. That something that we had prayed about that would not happen to us, that happened. You know, and we got into an infraction with some, you know, traffic law enforcement and so forth. Some of you may have heard that testimony. But in my heart, I was like, we already prayed that this thing should not happen. We don't want to go. Every time we go in and out, there's nothing, no infraction, nothing. We've already prayed about that and we're believing that it won't happen. So if it happens, then what? And that means God must deliver us. Hallelujah. The outcome must still be the same as though it never happened. You know, that's the thing. You know, so that the outcome, when you already believe in God, that you've prayed about this thing, God is able to deliver you. God's able to deliver you even from it. You're even praying that you should not even encounter these things. Okay, now that's great. But what if it happens? Well, then you got to be resolved in your mind that since you already prayed that it shouldn't happen in the first place, and if it now happens for whatever reason, then that means God must deliver you out of it. You know, that's just it. You know, so that was my posture. I was like, well, we already prayed that this wouldn't happen. But since it's happening, well, that means God's going to deliver us out of it. And the outcome will be as though it never happened. Praise the Lord. You know, so that's how you must prepare your mind. You know, again, strengthen yourself for hardness. You know, don't panic over little things. If you panic over little things, how are you going to be able to handle bigger things? You've heard me quote Jeremiah 12 and 5 many times in the last few weeks. It goes also with this lesson. If you cannot, you know, run with footmen, how are you going to contend against horses? You know, if in the land of peace, when just one small thing happens, you gripe, you complain, you murmur, you give up, what are you going to do when some real adversity comes? God forbid. So you got to prepare your mind and your heart for these things. But then let's see how one person in the scripture handles his own adversity. Now, this is the faith reloaded part of this lesson. We've covered what adversity is and how it may come. We've covered how we may avoid it and so on and so forth. Sometimes, you know, and we've covered, you know, how to prepare ourselves towards it and the posture we must have when we actually face it. But there are some other things that you can do when you actually have adversity, when it faces you. Well, it's a story in, I love this story in 1 Samuel chapter 30, the first 6 verses. The story of David at Ziklag. So let's read it together and see how David reloaded his faith. You know, so the background of the story, you may or may not know it, but, you know, David had somehow joined himself to the Philistines. You know, all those times we were having trouble running here and there, you know, and some people were with him, you know, for some time. And in this particular story, they had gone to fight, gone to, you know, for a battle. They were fighting on the side of Philistines for a while. Before they came, the camp where they were, the Amalekites had come and invaded the place. So let's pick up this story. And it came to pass that when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag was smitten and burnt with fire. And they had taken, the Amalekites took captive their wives that were therein. They didn't slay anybody. They slew not any. Thank God for that. They slew not any, either great or small, but they carried them away captive and went their way. So when David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters were all taken captives, it came to pass that David and these people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. This is what's called lamenting. This kind of weeping. Weep and weep and weep and weep until there is no more strength in them. There was no more strength in them to weep. And David's two wives were also among the people that were taken. You know, and they named his wives here: Ahinoam, the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. Now, all the people actually spoke of stoning him, and they blamed David for all of these problems. But because it was David, they followed to war. I was like, I mean, this was no concern of us, you know, in the first place. You dragged us into these things, and now look at what happened. We followed you to the battle, and we came, and all our wives and children and everything is gone. So they talked about themselves that they are going to stone David. You know, because everybody was angry for his wife that was taken, for his children that were taken. And they were, you know, thinking of stoning him. And David was distressed because the people spake of stoning him. Because of the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters and their wives and so on. But what did David do? This is called reloading your faith in the face of adversity. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Well, how did he do it? Exactly. Well, we don't know. But there are some other places in the Psalms where we might have read, where we might read some of the things that David might have spoken. You know, for instance, in Psalm 42, you know, we read, how did David encourage himself in the Lord? And I'm going to spend a few minutes talking about that today. How to reload our faith by encouraging ourselves in the Lord. Here's what David said: "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Psalm 42 and verse 5. "And why art thou disquieted within me?" Now here's how he's going to encourage himself. "Hope thou in God." He's talking to his own soul. "For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me." So at this time, when he was in this big distress, and he's going to call to remembrance the days of great victory. That's right. You know, in the days of trouble and affliction, just like we said the other day, when you're down in the valley, and remember the goodness of the Lord on the mountain. You know, now, you know, when he was facing this thing, he said, "Look, I will remember the Lord from the land of Jordan, you know, and from the hill Mizar. There were times when God gave him victory. Said, I'm going to remember, you know, the kindnesses of the Lord during those times. And I'm going to use that to encourage myself. He pulled me out once. He'll pull me out again. And then, you know, you begin to encourage yourself in the Lord. Well, let's read something else too. The book of Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 12. Using the word of the Lord for faith reloading. How does that work? Well, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, this is how I teach this lesson out of this particular verse. It says, for the word of God is quick. Well, that means it's alive. And it is powerful. And it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. Well, the word of God can do that. The joints and marrows, and it's a discerner of the tense and, you know, thoughts and intents of the heart. What is the dividing asunder of soul and spirit mean? You've heard this before, some of you. It's the word of God that can do that. When your soul is distressed, David said, my soul is distressed. Why thou cast down with him all that distress, all that emotion, all that discouragement, all that anguish, all of that stuff is inside the soul. And when all of that is going on, here's how you can use the word of God to pull out for yourself encouragement. Now, you can use the word of God to divide between your soul and your spirit. That's what this verse is saying. Now, we know the soul is going to be soulish. Soul is going to be in anguish and all of these things when these things are happening. But you can switch into your spirit man and latch on to the word of God and say, nevertheless, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. You know, yet will I hope in the light of his countenance. No matter what all these things are going on, you can switch in a moment. You can just switch. We see examples. David was doing it here in Psalm 42. My soul is distressed. Why are you cast down? Hope down in God. He tells himself, tells his soul, for I will yet. And he immediately switches into the spirit realm. I'm going to yet hope in the light of his countenance. We see Micah doing the same thing. In Micah chapter 7 and verse 8, he said, look, when I'm faced with adversity, the devil pummel me down and all these things, and I'm sitting in darkness and so forth. I will not stay down. I will arise. And I know the Lord's going to be a light unto me. He begins to switch that around. Habakkuk says the same thing. Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18. When everything is lost and bankrupt, there's no yield from the fruits, and everything is failed all around me. There's evil all around. Everything is cut off. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. And he switches that right into reloading his faith. That's how you reload your faith in the face of adversity. You latch on to the word of God. Never mind the soul. The soul's going to do its thing. But in your spirit, you latch on to the word of God. You know, no matter what discouragement you face, when you are able to locate the word of encouragement and latch onto it. In the book of Luke chapter 5, Peter and his friends were out fishing for a long time and they caught nothing. And when Jesus came upon the scene, realizing that they had caught nothing and they had been out there for a long time, he gave them instruction of what to do. Hallelujah. And, you know, when he did, well, the next thing we know, there is a tremendous catch. He says to them in Luke chapter 5 and verse 4, launch out into the deep, because they went, then they came back. They were discouraged. They caught nothing. And then they They came back. They'd been there in the deep. They came back and they folded up their nets. They were washing out their nets and everything. And Jesus came in and said, well, you know, I know that you're discouraged and all, but here's what I want you to do. Do it again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do it again. Thank you, Jesus. Now go back out there and let out your net for a drop. And Simon was quick to answer and say, Master, we've done that or been there, done that all night long. We just came back from there. Tonight, the fish are not biting. There is nothing going on. We washed out our nets, you know, and he started to say all of that. There was discouragement that set into his soul. But in a moment, he reloaded his faith. He reloaded his faith when he remembered that this is the master that is speaking. And immediately, the key word here is nevertheless. Hallelujah. You know, so that's how you reload your faith. All of these things are going on. You can't discount the fact that these adversities are all around you. But nevertheless, hallelujah, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Nevertheless at thy word. So he reloaded his faith. He divided, he separated between his soul, which had the discouragement, the letdown. There was a letdown. There was a letdown factor there. We've been there all night with nothing happening. You know, we've given up. We've washed our nets. We call it quits. You know, that letdown is in the soul. But immediately he heard the word. He switched that into the spirit. That's what Hebrews 4 and 12 is talking about. Separating between the spirit and the soul. You know, put the soul in its place. That's right. And you can't fix the soul. Because the soul is going to be depressed and all these things and emotions. And that's where all of that happens in the soul. It's nothing you can do about that. But you can encourage yourself. Switch into the spirit realm. As a matter of fact, you can also choose to help your soul at times in directing your thoughts. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 tells you that. He said, look, when you are faced with situations from verses 4, 6, and 8. Say, be anxious for nothing. There's all kinds of things that will make you anxious. You are in a distressed situation. He will be anxious. You know, but he's saying, look, I pray and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God passes understanding. How can you have peace in the face of adversity? Well, that's why it's called peace that passes understanding. My peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. I give you peace, Jesus said, in the face of tribulation. And he said, but here's another thing that I'm going to tell you. You know, he now comes back in verse 8 of Philippians 4 and tells them that, look, channel your energies in this direction. Get a hold of your thoughts, he said. You know, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, remember all the good things. Hallelujah. You know, just like David said, I will remember you from the land of Jordan, from the hills of Milphaz. You know, I will remember you from all the things, you know, when you are sad and nothing going and when you're depressed and you're faced with adversity. Switch that around. This is how you reload your faith. Direct your thoughts into the great things that the Lord already did. You know, the things that had good report, things that are of faith, things that are of virtue, things that are, you know, of praise. Remember the praise reports. Think on those things at those times. Channel your faith around like that. That's how you reload your faith. So reloading your faith in the face of adversity is what we're talking about today. And to do it correctly, you must prepare for adversity. That's not being negative. That's being ready. You must prepare. Jesus himself said, be ye therefore also ready. You must make preparation. You must prepare in your heart. Because for the days of adversity, be prepared. If you are not prepared and things take you unawares, and you have not learned the secret of endurance, then you're going to panic. You're going to run helter-skelter. Also, in the days of adversity, remember God's steadfast love. This is another thing. Remember his steadfast love. Remember that the Lord said, you know, in the book of Isaiah, you know, chapter 54, you know, the Lord promised us that his kindness will never depart from us, and his covenant of mercy will not depart. Isaiah 54 verse 10. For the mountains shall depart, the hills be removed. The places where you had victories, that was the mountains. Places where you had, you know, the hill of Mizpah or whatever that David was calling it there, where you had your great victories, well, those are gone. You are now in the doldrums. You are now down the valleys. You are now, you know, saddened and depressed and facing adversity. But remember, saith the Lord, my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace. Remember, my peace I give unto you, even in those situations. Covenant of my peace shall never be removed from you, saith the Lord that had mercy on you. Remember his kindness in those days. Remember the Lord and say it unto the Lord, and say unto the Lord, thank you, Lord, because you are the one that remembers me in my low estate. That's right. He will remember you too. He'll do it. You know, remember his steadfast love. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39. He said, look, there are many things that we face in life and many adversities that befall us. But this man was persuaded on God's steadfast love. He was persuaded that no matter what he faces, and this is how we ourselves must be persuaded. He said, look, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You must be persuaded in his steadfast love. My kindness shall not depart from you, neither shall my covenant of peace be removed. You know, tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. All these adversities. He said, look, even when it appears that we are killed all the day long, he said, at the end of it all, in all these things, hallelujah, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Be persuaded of the steadfast love of Christ. His love is stronger than any adversity. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, even things that have not happened yet, whether I'm up or I'm down, neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature, be able to separate. He's talking about the love of God. It's an anchor that reaches deep into the soul. You know, you can pull out the, you know, all the stops when you are, you know, convinced, persuaded about the love of God that is stronger than any situation. His love for you is stronger than the peril, than the distress, than the persecution, than the famine, than the nakedness, than the sword, than the adversity, the loss, or whatever you're going through. Be persuaded. That's how you reload your faith. Say, I am persuaded. Glory to God. And no matter what I'm going through right now, glory to God, his love is going to pull me out. Thank you, Jesus. His love will pull you out. His grace will find you. His love will pull you out. No matter where you are, I am persuaded I'm coming out on the other side. That's right. I'm coming out on the other side because though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I know I'm not going to be afraid because I already know I'm coming out on the other side. That's what walking through means. Hallelujah. I'm passing through. I'm only passing through. Be persuaded of his love. Know that what he has said to you in Isaiah 43 and 2 is very, very true. He said, when you pass through, well, when means it will happen. It's not if, it is when. These things will happen to you. But there's another thing that is implied in that verse. When means it will certainly happen. Through means you are coming out on the other side. So persuade yourself of these things. When I pass through, it didn't say when you go into the fire. It didn't say when you go into the river. Well, that would be a dead end. It didn't say when you go into the valley of the shadow of death. That would be a dead end. But when you pass through, that means you are coming out on the other side. Persuade yourself with these things. This is how you reload your faith. In the face of adversity, that's how you reload your faith. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, you know, we read from verses 9 to about 13. Paul's talking about all the things they went through. He said, look, some of us apostles, they're like, you know, we're appointed to death. We're made as a spectacle of the world. Angels and everybody. We're like fools for Christ. All of these things happen to us. You know, we are buffeted. We have no certain dwelling place. You know, I mean, it seems like, you know, we don't have anything going for us, you know. But all of those things never, never got the best of him. He always had this confidence. He gave his testimonies in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. He said, look, even all those things that I said before were buffeted on every side and everything. But this is how they encouraged themselves in the Lord. They already knew, you know, and they were already confident of the things that they know God can do for them. Praise the Lord. So, buffeted on every side. Troubled on every side. Distressed, afflicted. You know, adversities on every side. But we are not in despair. That's how you crank up and reload your faith. We're persecuted, but we are not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Etc., etc. Praise the Lord. Now, let me wrap this up with a couple more scriptures for us. Now, the lesson today is that how do we reload our faith in the midst of adversity? Praise the Lord. Now, let's look at the testimony of Job finally. Here's how it is written in the book of James chapter 5 and verse 11. Happy are they which endure. See, when you endure, say, happy are you. You have heard of the patience of Job, and you've seen the end of the Lord in the matter. Because the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. So at the end of the day, we saw that Job came out on top, and God gave him twice as much as everything that he lost. And he said, you know, James is saying here, and you saw that. So strengthen yourself with the same encouragement. That's how you reload your faith in the face of all these things. Hallelujah. Anyhow, no matter what you're going through, praise the Lord. Anyhow, if you know how to praise God, even in the midst of adversity, that's another way to reload your faith in the midst of adversity. Praise the Lord. When all these things happened to Job, in the book of Job chapter 1 verse 21, we're told that Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head. I mean, he sorrowed, he mourned, he did everything, but yet he fell down to the ground and worshipped. That's right. He worshipped. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord had allowed it to be taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, so he steered himself. He reloaded his faith. He steered himself up. Job chapter 13 and verse 15. We wrap these things up with the testimonies of these people like these. And Job at the end said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And I will maintain my integrity. Hallelujah. And that's what the Lord told the devil too. Have you seen that this man maintained his integrity before me, even though you went, caused me to move against him for no reason? He has still maintained his integrity. That's how you stir up, you know, and reload your faith in the midst of adversity. I'm going to pray for us that are in the room, that God will give us the grace to go through. And remember, Romans 8 and 28, you know, this is another assurance that will be with you in the face of adversity. Know that the Lord has said that, you know, all things will work together for your good because you love the Lord. All things work together for good. So even when you are going through, because you love the Lord, God will make all those things work together for good. So rather than blaming God and doing all these other things that we've talked about today, you know, remember that he has promised that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will be with you and he will pull you out. And you will get the victory. You get the last laugh at the end of the day too. You stay there, right there with God. So that's how you reload your faith in the midst of adversity. Anchored on God's word and his love. And reminding yourself of testimonies of the past, both in your life and the life of others. That God has pulled out and that he will also pull you out as well. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this lesson over the room today. May everyone be encouraged. You know, you may be going through a diagnosis of ill health even right now. You know, remember, you can reload your faith. Hallelujah. Check out the testimonies in the Bible of how God has turned situations around similar to yours. Remind yourself of even previous things that God had done. Hallelujah. David said, I will remember thee from the land of Jordan. That's right. I remember the great victories of the Lord. You may be facing adversity on your job, adversity in your relationships, adversity in family, adversity in whatever. Reload your faith by saying, I know my Redeemer liveth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My Redeemer liveth. And he's going to pull me out. Glory to God. No matter what I'm going through, I'm going to come out on the other side. He will never leave me nor forsake me. May the Lord strengthen everyone that's listening to this. Give us resilience. Build your spiritual capacity now in preparation for the days of trouble. And when time comes, pull out your faith. Hallelujah. Renew and reload your faith through all these promises and scriptures that we have shared today. Thank you, Father, for everyone. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.